Are you ready now? Be my queen, just take your love. All you need, but to you. Anything you want, my girl. Anywhere you want, my love.
Hello, good people of the Wine and Uncorked Chronicles podcast. Welcome back. Welcome to another exciting episode. I'm particularly excited for this one because it is with somebody who is near and dear to me. I'm going to introduce her in a second, but basically, I've been wanting to have this conversation, this podcast with you to share, you know, laughs and learnings. And I think that's what life is all about. So today I have my cousin, my special guest, ladies and gentlemen, although you already knew. Her name is Miss Angeline. Angeline or Angela. To the world, she's Angeline. To me, she's Angela. So you will excuse me for calling you by your childhood name. But yes, I'm so excited to have you. Thank you so much for gracing with your presence. And yeah, so Angela.
Thank you so much for having me, Koi. Aki, thank you so much. In fact, when you reached out to me and told me about this, I was really, really excited because one thing you and I have always been able to do and do really well is hold conversations, like
amen
talk.
Amen to that. You know? Yeah,
exactly. So I was really, really excited and I was like, yeah, definitely this is something that I'm going to say yes to. So thank you for inviting me. Thank you for, you know, having me on as a guest.
Of course. I mean, I've always said the same. I think we always have good banter. I think, well, the beauty of it is that it we can always talk about really stupid and funny things and laugh about it, but we can also have very deep conversations. And even though there's an age gap between us, I've never really felt like I'm having somebody speaking down at me and lecturing me. It's been more of it's always felt like there's a friendship element. Of course, you're my older cousin, so we'll get into all of that. But basically, guys, welcome to the podcast. Of course, the way we know each other is because of the fact that we are cousins. And we've had a very interesting experiences together. But guys, I wanted to let you know before we get into this episode, something, my favorite trait about Angela is her smile and her laugh. Angela has one of the most heartwarming smiles and laughs. It is the kind of laugh that will always make you feel good about yourself. It's such a funny and, you know, entertaining laugh. And I think it's such a unique thing to you. I absolutely love it. You bring so much joy into the room, always. I've always thought that about you. You have this aura of, I step in and it's just joy and you know it's going to be a good time. So just giving you guys a pre-warning.
Yo, listen, let me tell you something. You know, one thing I've actually been told is I need to patent my laughter.
Yeah, 100%.
And something, there's a reason I was given a laughter like this, Koi. Like there's no way a woman was made to laugh like this for nothing. Some money out of this.
No, you really, whoever has given you that advice, it knows exactly what he or she is talking about. Yeah. But you have a laugh that's so unique and you don't want people to start stealing that, you know? That's such a, it's fantastic. Actually, there's no way a woman should laugh like this. That's killed me.
Exactly. And you know, like for the past 2-3 years, right? I found myself not laughing as much as I used to because of everything that I've been battling and dealing with.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get to that much later on. So any opportunity that I get to laugh, and you know that laughter where your ribs are hurting.
Yeah, it's coming from deep.
Exactly, from deep. Yeah. Where, you know, it's so strange that those episodes have happened, number one, when I'm alone.
Yeah.
And every time they happen, every time they happen, I'm just like, God, thank you. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I laughed today. Oh my gosh. Thank you. You know, there's so many things that we take for granted in life.
100.
You know, the simple things, the little things, the small things. But now being able to laugh for me is such a blessing. So when those opportunities come, I tell God, thank you from the bottom of my heart that I've laughed. It feels really good to laugh. You know, that belly like kind of laughter. Oh my gosh, it feels really
exactly.
good.
Exactly. And you know, I read somewhere, and I think it's one of the saddest things I ever read, where they said that the more, you know, the older you get, the less you find things funny. And I was like, that is such a depressing stat and inevitability of life is that, you know, we laugh less when we get older, or we find less reason to laugh, and or we almost don't allow ourselves to laugh because we are adults or whatever that means.
Exactly.
And it's that's really nice to hear that, you know, especially that it happens when you're alone and you just laugh and laugh. And, yeah, you come out of it and you're like, oh, thank you.
Listen, I don't agree with that thing, that thing that you said. I don't agree with it at all. Like, for me, I plan laughing to my grave coin.
Yeah.
Like, if there's one thing that I will not let go of is laughter. Like, I cannot let go of that at all.
Exactly. Especially when you're going through things where the only thing that makes you feel better is laughter. It really is. And I don't know if this is like something you find true, but personally, I found that some of the most stressful situations, there's always a point where you're like, it honestly cannot get worse than this. And you start laughing at how ridiculously bad it is. Mm-hmm. And you're like, why are you laughing at this? It's not funny. But you're like, if I don't laugh, I will cry.
I will cry.
Exactly. And I prefer to laugh. Yeah, it's really funny. But so of course, for the people listening, Angela is my cousin. We've both had very, I would say, interesting lives. We're both in a space, or rather we're trying to get ourselves in a space that's creative. But before we get into the more work side hustle of things, I just wanted to talk a bit about of course, as we already said, my relationship with Angela has always been one where we can have these conversations. You know, just like any relationship, we've gone through our ups, we've gone through our downs, we've had learnings. And I think that something that I really wanted to also just talk about a bit is the fact that we lived together at some point in time. Oh, that was very interesting.
Listen, first of all, let me apologize in advance. I know I am very
moody. Oh, bless.
I know bless I am you. Very moody. I remember my mood used to get to your mom, like.
Dad.
I'm sure your mom was just like, what?
Guys, I'm crying.
Your mom is there trying to have conversation at the dinner table.
Oh.
I know I used to make things awkward for you guys, and I am truly, truly sorry. Like, honestly.
Oh, my God.
Swings. Oh, my days. Oh, my gosh.
No, but, I mean, again, I'm actually crying, guys. It's legitimately so funny, but... let's just say, Angela, my mom prayed. She prayed for you, and it definitely was something she did. I think my mom, you know what I love about my mom is that these are the things that really matter to her. You know, she gets very affected when I think when everyone is not comfortable, and when she can identify the source of that, it makes her even more upset because she's not going to address it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think that made it even funnier, you know? And I remember I also sometimes just used to sit there like, yeah, let's just eat and go to bed because tonight is not the night. It's not the night.
Oh my gosh, like what in the world? And you know, the thing is, I would love to say it was because of everything that I was going through and stuff like that. But then these mood swings are things that have affected me throughout my whole entire life.
Yeah.
There's one common thing everyone will say, even my siblings, is I am moody. Like today I'm good, tomorrow I'm not. Or right now at 4:20 p.m. I'm good. At 5, I'm not.
Yeah.
So exactly. So it's something that has affected me throughout my whole entire life.
Yeah. But I mean, it's really, I think the funny thing is, and I think the great thing is the fact that you acknowledge that you have that. And it's not like you think that, oh, this is just the experience. You know, I think something that is really important in life is to accept where your flaws are. And you know that, and
exactly,
and everyone's different, and it's perfectly fine to yeah, to have flaws in different ways. That's what makes us human. That's what makes us different. Yeah. And it's important. Yeah. But I think, you know, in as much as, yes, there was moods, I think it was really funny because obviously I don't have a sister. And I grew up with my brother. And by the time we were in Nairobi, of course, it was just me at home because Janga was mm-hmm. in boarding school. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, I remember when my mom said, or my dad said, you know, Angela is going to be moving in here, whatever the reasons were at the time. And I was excited because I was just like, oh, finally, there's somebody who can, you know, occupy me through going through my teenage experience, somebody who gets it as well, you know?
Yeah.
And so I did definitely view you as my bigger sister. And of course, guys, as you know, when you have younger siblings, I wouldn't know because I'm one, they can be annoying AF. And I definitely know I was. Yeah. I definitely know that I've always been an annoying younger sibling. Like even Jenga will tell you. And I was so excited because now, you know, she was in the house. There was access to all these perfumes. There was outfits, you know, and I was like, yes, you know, there was lotions.
Yes.
And of course, when you're in a small space and you're obviously, you know, now I was like, oh, finally I can like, I can put on make, I can, you know, and you had all the nice things. So I used to just be like, I'm going to steal the perfume from Angela. I'm going to disturb her until she lets me spray it. I'm going to ask to wear her clothes. But I think it was, for me, it was really fun. I really enjoyed that. You know, I also enjoyed how you used to get pissed off at me when I actually did, and you'd come and ask me, I'd be like, no. And you're like, who else could have taken this?
Definitely not your mom.
Unless there's a ghost in the house somewhere, you know, who else could have taken it? But I think it's really great that we can look back on those times and smile. But
it is. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, that was definitely an experience. It was mostly a fun experience. And you know, when I was living there, Koi, it's so strange. When I was living there, that is when I got my job at KIS TV.
Yes, I remember. There was a transition period and you got KIS. And I remember how excited you were when that happened. And I remember because you were kind of trying to figure out, you know, you were in one job and I didn't think you were happy. At least that was the feeling I got. And you were kind of just waiting for something that was a bit more, how would I say, like bigger, you know, or something where you felt like this is where I can really shine, and you finally got that. And I'm really interested. Like, talk me through like getting the job, getting in there, learning the ropes. Like, what was that experience like? Full cycle, right? And then we'll just segue from there.
Yeah. All right. To be honest, getting that job was, and to this day, is one of the highlights of my life. Because, you know, I came back from Malaysia and I didn't graduate. I went to Malaysia. I messed up there. So I came back home. And the reason that I ended up moving with you guys is because I was having issues with my dad. We're having like constant disagreements, you know?
Yeah.
So it was just like we needed a break from each other, my dad and I. So I moved in with you guys. So one of the things that so many people told me is, what, you've come back without a degree, you don't know what is going to happen to you, you're going to amount to nothing, you're not going to get a job, nothing is going to work out for you. So I remember taking those words to heart, and as much as they hurt, I used them as fuel. Like for 1 year, Koi, I trekked and I hustled, every single day. I would wake up and I was going to town. I was going to Kenya National Theatre because they would have this notice board that used to have advertisements call, what do they call them? Roll calls, basically, casting roles and stuff like that, jobs, opportunities, like go on auditions. Let me call them auditions. So I would go see something I like, something that I feel that I fit into, and I would go for the audition. You know, I auditioned. Nothing much came out of it, but I kept at it because I was like, I need to get a job. I need to prove to these people that I can amount to something, like something good is going to come out of all this. So I remember, like, I had just about given up. And then I saw this notice last minute, and I can't remember whether I saw it on Facebook or where I saw it. Kiss TV was looking for a presenter. I was like, oh my gosh. And the moment I saw it, the day I saw it, that was their last, that was their closing. Basically, if you hadn't turned in by that day, that time, don't bother turning in your, you know, your, what do they call these things that you have to send them?
Like your...
A reel, yes, exactly. Like they sent a one minute presentation you saying something, you know. So I turned mine in, and I turned it in because I saw it the day after, so I was already late, but I was just like, let me just send this, you never know what may happen. And I sent it not expecting any call back. And I remember I was at home, I was at your house in Mohoga, and I got the call. I had skipped work, my previous work where I used to go, because I used to, let me tell you, I used to kill my uncles and aunties. They say I'm going for a funeral. That joked so much, Koi, I wanted out. I remember one time Dennis asking me, like, hey, you, how many family members have you killed? It was one of those days I was in the house. And I got a call to audition. Oh my gosh. I remember just coming out of the house and screaming and jumping. Like, I was so excited. So I anyway, I ended up going for the audition. And we were 12, then went down to 6, then went down to the top 3. And eventually all 3 of us got the job. I remember it was me, a guy, four of us. It was me, K4, this guy called Kwame, and Yvonne. We were all hired for different shows. And I was just like, oh my goodness, Koi. I was so excited. I didn't even tell anybody. How people found out was they just saw me on TV.
On TV. Crazy.
I told nobody, you know?
Crazy.
Like, let people just see for themselves. So that's when I started getting calls. Like, are you at Kiss? Oh my gosh, we saw you on TV. Like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And I remember, like, near where my dad works, there's this girl called Lorraine. We were together in Kianda School. And one time we met in town, and she had a chemist just next to my dad's office. So my dad would go and buy like medications from there or stuff from that chemist. And I don't know how, in that chemist there was a small TV, and I was there, like his TV was showing, and I was there presenting. And my dad told her, like, that's my daughter, that's my daughter. It's so weird, like,
so nice,
you know? He didn't know that I knew this girl. And then one time when we met, she just told me, your dad is so proud of you. Like, when he saw you on TV, he was like, that's my daughter, that's my daughter, you know?
That's it, just so felt amazing. Really, really
good. Exactly. Like, I it was such a positive thing even for myself, because so many people had told me I wouldn't amount to anything. And for those people to feel like, oh my gosh, I had done this on my own.
Imagine.
Nobody helped me, no godfather, my own talent got me to
do this. Yeah. Oh, I have goosebumps.
It was such a beautiful feeling for me. Such a beautiful feeling. Like, it just shows you hard work, determination. At the end of it all, it pays. It pays. It really does pay off.
That's amazing. I even got goosebumps telling as you was hearing you tell that story. Crazy. Wow. I mean, so okay, you've gone through this you know, phase of working your butt off to get this job, and then you finally get the job, and now you are of course trying to figure out your flow. Did you get paired with a presenter? Like, what was that dynamic, the in between? Now, so you've given me the entrance into it, so talk me through the thick and thin of it.
So, I mean, I was really excited working there. I remember, like, I would wake up really, really early. I was always one of the first people in the office because I was really, really excited. In fact, one thing all the people that I have worked with will tell you is I am very, very professional and hardworking. I take my responsibilities seriously. And anybody who dares to mess with that, like, will fight. You know, I am really, really, I take my responsibilities really, really seriously. So for me, it just gave me so much pleasure. I was being given a lot of responsibilities. I was writing scripts, doing different shows. You know, I mean, so many things were just happening all at once at the office.
Yeah.
One thing I liked about it was it didn't have much politics, because a lot of media houses have a lot of politics, like people
this is
try
true.
To stuff news about stuff like that. There was nothing
Crazy.
Like that there.
Yeah,
we were
yeah.
like a small unit, and we all just got along. Somehow we just all got along. And even the ones who didn't, like, it wasn't a big deal, you know? Just stay out of my way, I stay out of yours.
I see you, you see me stay in your lane, I'll stay in my lane. As it should be.
As it should be. Like, I mean, you don't have to like me, I don't have to like you.
Exactly.
But we have to respect the hell out of one another at work, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was, I would say it was a mostly positive experience. And I was working with, I mean, I met Gaetano there. You remember Gaetano?
What?
Big Brother?
The first winner of, that's insane. No way.
Exactly.
What? Crazy.
Makari Kitui.
Yes, Makari.
Exactly.
Quick. Yeah, he's the
One
late.
Of the most amazing. Yes.
He's a late brother of my friend Lila. So, I remember she used to talk about this.
He was such an amazing boss. That guy. Oh,
bless him.
He knew how to be tough, but at the same time, he was very, very friendly, understanding, kind.
Yeah.
He was just funny, interesting, and he was really smart. He was really, really smart. I just had so much fun. Who else did I meet that? I mean, I was in the same office, same building with Maina Kageni.
Crazy. All these big guys on radio.
You know, exactly. All these big guys. Caroline Chopra and stuff like that. Though I never got the courage to talk to either one of them. But
you know, the thing is, right? There's like some people who you hope that you just kind of bump into each other. Then there are others who you're like, I'm never going to be the first one to actually go up and say anything.
Yeah,
like the fear, you know, because you're just like, I respect this person. What if they shut me down? I have an interesting story about that.
So it was really and then interviewing people like Sauti Sol, like,
oh my God.
Like, anybody who knows me knows how much I love those guys.
Yes,
like, I've loved them since Hey You and
Do you know, Angela, do you know what's, you know, this is some crazy serendipity. Yesterday, I played Sincere for the first time in God knows how many years. And then you mentioned Gaetano. I was speaking to a colleague of mine from work, and we were talking about Big Brother Africa and who the winner was. This conversation is serendipity that's just happening in front of us. Like, this is crazy. It's crazy. It's so weird. The vibe is right. The vibe is so right today. I can't even lie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But crazy. What an interesting like experience to be there with all these people who you've seen on TV, and you're like, you know, so cool. I want to beat these guys. And then it happens. That's amazing.
So it was really, really fun. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Until
so
it
there,
wasn't.
Okay. Very interesting. So you said that the working environment was for the most part, it was respect is there, we're professional, we do our jobs, we go home, you know, we produce great content. But was there did you have any ops? And by that, I mean, were there people who you felt, these people are just not for me, or this person doesn't like me? And
definitely my co-host was one of them. We used to we used to fight that guy, you know. To be honest, I don't want to say mean things about anybody. Like, one thing I've come to understand about sharing my journey is I just want to be as respectful as possible, you know, about all the people involved. So I'm just going to leave it as we did not get along at all. He didn't think positively about me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it got so bad to the point, I remember one time our boss ended up telling our boss, our top boss, the CEO of the company, ended up telling our head of TV, tell this girl to get her head together or else she's gone. Do you know, it was so bad to the point where I couldn't even host the show with this guy. Like, he would talk
my God.
To me and I would keep quiet.
Oh my God, Angela.
Imagine, you know, so, you know, some of the things, like when you look back at some of the things now, it was such a learning curve for me because like, you learn to have self-control. Because in the corporate world, there's so many people that you're going to meet that you're not going to like, who won't like you. But you cannot, you cannot, like, show it. You're there for one purpose and one purpose
exactly.
only.
Exactly,
And that is to work. And let me tell you, when I was issued that warning, I got my shit together. Like, it was just like...
That's terrifying.
Exactly. He wasn't worth me losing something that I'd worked too hard to attain, you know? So it just got to a point where I just pretend. Like, And I learned how to separate personal from business.
Which is...
So it was a real learning curve for me.
It's very hard to do. I mean, like, if I could just share one story. When I was working in my last job when I was in Kenya, I'm not going to name any names because, yo, I'm not trying to get a lawsuit. But basically, me and my boss, we didn't see eye to eye at all. We we viewed work life in two very different ways. And it so happened that at the time, she wasn't my boss, but then we had a, like, what do you call it, a restructuring of the company. And at the time, I was managing a few people, but then she was brought in here to kind of like help create more structure. She was a more senior person anyway. So we'd all heard about her working style. And of course, unless you've worked with somebody, you don't really, you just hear things. And then, of course, things are always said, like rumors, they always go around. And then she became the boss. And my friend, when I tell you, a bully and targeted bullying and kind of trying to pit people against each other, and she always used to say, you know, I have to be hard on you guys so that you, you know, so that you grow, so that you know that this is not an easy world. So somebody who was deliberately trying to be, like, she needed to prove herself and be as big of a, you know, bully as possible to show that that's how you get ahead. And the thing about me, and probably this is something that I really value this about me, but I also know it can be my biggest downfall. I can't keep quiet. If I see people being mistreated or being bullied, I will always say something. I will always put my foot down. And I did. And when I tell you that she came for me, it became like me and her, like this, butting heads. To the point where there was one specific meeting that I had with her. And I remember this was at the point where she threatened somebody else from the team to fire them. No cause, just because this person wasn't quite doing what, you know, and she, of course, has no authority to just fire people. Like, she was not anyone who sat on a role where she could just say, I'm firing this person without cause. And so, you know, she was basically trying to pit us against each other. So this meeting... we sat there and we were talking and she starts telling me, oh, you know, I hear these people aren't happy with X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. You as their mid-manager has to do this. So basically putting all the things that are going wrong on me. So I sat there and I remember she was talking and at some point her words got drowned out and all I could hear was my heartbeat in my chest and my ears getting hot. And my anger, you know, my face basically, you know, like in the cartoons in Tom and Jerry, when you see them getting angrier and angrier. And the heat was just rising from my head. And I think at that moment in time, she said something to me and I was just looking at her. And she said something to me and I said to her, listen, I'm not going to tolerate any of this. And I got up and I walked out of that meeting. Because when I tell you, this was so, it's like she was playing chess and trying to, like, basically poison Wells here, poison so that she can divide and conquer, essentially. And when I realized that that was her game, I was fuming because I'm like, how can you be such a horrible person? Do you know what I mean? Why do you go about your day trying to destroy things so that you can then come put them back together and look like the hero? What kind of person does that? So I got up and I left. And then she basically, like, like, I think an hour went by, then she wrote me a message on Slack and she's like, I'm not so sure why, you know, you were so triggered by our conversation. Like, when I tell you, somebody who's just manipulating you. And I realized at that point in time, I called my mom and I'm like, I might lose my job today because my my temperature is up to here. And I told my mom, I might lose my job today. She's like, is it worth it? Is she worth it? You can't give her that power over you. And I remember I went home that day and I just said, you know what, henceforth, my main goal in this, kill it with kindness, just go in there, because people who hurt people are hurt people, you know? And I decided I was going to go in there, put my head down and smile at every corner. And this made her even more pissed off, because what then happened is our big bosses came from Nepal, came there and they were talking to us. And she asked, so how is it going with this? And I said, you know what? This is my time to talk. I said, we're dealing with a manager who's a bully. This. So obviously, this now person went and said, yo, we need to address the situation. You know, why are we hearing this? And not just from her, but from other people. When I tell you, she then started a revenge rampage. Now she was deliberately just ignoring our work, blah, blah, blah. And she basically put in my name when we had another restructuring for me to be made redundant.
What?
Yeah.
What?
And I was temporarily redundant. There was a 30-day period at which if I wasn't been able to actually be placed in a different part of the company, I would have essentially lost my job. This is how I know that my work always spoke for itself. The MD of the Kenyan operation called me when he saw my name on that list. And he was like, I've just seen your name on this list. Why is it there? And I was like, well, you have people in this company who have agendas and who don't like me. And that's all I said. And I said, at that point, I wasn't even upset when that happened. I was more like, you know what? At this point, if this is the way I should go, it's the way I should go. This guy said, there's no way that's going to happen on my watch. He assigned me to a completely new department that was essentially being formed. And you should have seen how she started treating me like I was God's gift to humankind. Snake, my friend, Python, you know?
You know, it's so strange about such people. But one thing I've realized, Koi, is people who need to step on others or trample on others to feel good and powerful about themselves.
Yeah.
They're weak. They're weak people, you know? Mm-hmm. And then she must have seen something in you for her to keep attacking you over and over and over again. And then you see she tried to get you fired, but that eventually landed you somewhere even better. You know, so at the end of it, she won nothing. Yeah. And pretend siku za mwizi ni arubaini, you can't hide who you are forever. Eventually, even the big bosses will come to realize, my goodness, this person has been the problem, you know. So one of the things that I've been reading in the Bible is this, or one of the things that I've constantly been seeing is keep still. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, sometimes like when people are mean towards us, it is very easy for us to do tit for tat. Oh, you're insulting me, I insult you too, you know? Yeah. Or you're plotting against me, I'm going to plot against you too.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we forget that God sees everything that is happening and he will fight for you. If you just keep still and just trust him, he will fight for you, because at the end of the day, he sees everything, he hears everything, he knows everything.
At the end of the day, it all worked out for you,
so that's amazing.
Yeah, it did. It really did. And I always look back and I say, like, I'm really happy I heeded my mom's advice, guys.
Your mom's advice, like, you didn't because let her have that power.
Exactly. And when that happened, you know, I ended up then getting this job that got me to Germany, and now I'm here and I'm able to talk about these things. So, you know, everything also serves its purpose in your life, every hardship, and it's meant to happen like that, because then it doesn't feel worth it in the end. Things shouldn't come to you with very clear instructions, and, you know, and so I do actually, in many ways, I do thank her, because if it wasn't for her and if it wasn't for her making me realize I actually deserve better, and I've started just putting things out there and got this gig in Germany, like, my life would not have changed. I would have probably been sitting in the same place trying to figure out what to do with my life, you know? And I wasn't happy there. It was a job. Yeah. It was an income. That was basically it. Mm-hmm. There was nothing much more to it than that. So anyway, so of course, working life. Let's circle back. So you said, of course, everything was going really well at KISS, and then until it didn't go well. So what was the catalyst there? What happened there?
So basically, I got into a relationship with somebody while I was there, and mm-hmm. he turned out to be a married guy. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, Corey, that was the beginning of hell for mm-hmm. me, and in so many ways. It was just crazy. And I think you witnessed quite a bit of it. Yeah. Like, it was just insane for me. I became this person, and I remember so many people trying to talk to me and tell me, mm-hmm. you've changed, you're different, you don't even dress properly the way you mm-hmm. used to, you don't even, you know, bother like with looking presentable. I remember, like, yeah. I was always a person, the latest hairstyles,
always.
My eyebrows were always done, nails were always done,
always.
And, you know, and this relationship just completely changed me. I ended up isolating everybody, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and it was just me and this man, you know, yeah. in this sort of cocoon of ours that we had created. So it was really crazy. One thing I can say is, I fell in love with somebody, and I remember yeah. when I met him, he wasn't even wearing a wedding ring. So instantly, yeah. I didn't even know he was married.
Yeah.
So it was a few weeks later, we were having December, we were having end of year party. Mm-hmm. And at this party, you know, we were flirting with one another and stuff like that. And then mm-hmm. one of my female colleagues grabbed me, and then she's like, I've been noticing for the past few weeks, you and this guy, are you guys having a thing? And I'm like, I don't know. We're just vibing. We're just talking. Mm-hmm. Why you don't get married? You know, I remember she was like, oh, you don't know he's married. So I remember getting so angry because remember I was new.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is not something that you want sticking to you. So I remember yeah. going to him and like, how the hell could you not tell me that you're married? And then he was like, mm-hmm. how I thought you knew because of who I am. Again, I'm not going to mention any names, and yep. I'm going to keep this as respectful as possible.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, I was like, how dare you not tell me you're married? Now people are going to look at me and call me a homewrecker and stuff like that, yada, mm-hmm. yada. Then he told me like how him and his wife were having issues and stuff like that, that they were eventually going to separate. So mm-hmm. that is the thing that made me enter that situation, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. we are practically done, you know? So I got into that relationship mm-hmm. and things were fun at first, mm-hmm. you know, the startings of a relationship.
Yeah, they're always so, yeah,
exactly.
That laughing, texting each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like things were fun, road trips to Naivasha and doing yeah. all this thing. Like I was having such an amazing time. And again, it was also a distraction. And I mm-hmm. remember even when I did the LNS interview, I was like, it was a distraction from what was going on at home. Mm-hmm. Remember, mm-hmm. things between me and my dad weren't good. So for yeah. me, anything yeah. that would, you know, just take my mind away from that part of my life, I welcomed, you know, with open mm-hmm. arms. Mm-hmm. So it was fun at the beginning. Until it wasn't. One thing that I noticed about him is, you know, we were brought together through painful situations. He was yeah. having his own situation at home. Mm-hmm. I was having my own situation at home. So pain mm-hmm. is what brought us together. And
of course.
Also escapism, you know, we were both trying to escape our lives.
Yeah.
And that is what brought us together. We ended up eventually moving in together. Mm-hmm. I remember I left home, and how I left home, it wasn't good at all. I remember mm-hmm. My dad was like, I'm not happy with this situation that you've gotten into, but there's nothing I can do. You're an adult now, you're working. Mm-hmm. So God, you know, so I took all my things, moved in with this guy. And one of the things that happened when I moved in with him was we started drinking a lot, Koi.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking a lot because... I remember when I joined, I wasn't that much of a drinker when I started mm-hmm. working. I wasn't that much of a drinker. And on top of that, I took my work really, really seriously. I
yeah.
was always on time. My prep was always ready. Like I was just, my work was my main focus. But then when I got into this relationship, that switched. He became my main focus.
Yeah.
So anything he wanted to do, I would do. And a lot of the times, the one thing that he wanted to do was drink.
Hmm.
he was having financial issues. He was stressed. Like, it was just so anytime I would suggest, let's go for a movie. No, I don't like movies. Let's go bowling. I don't want to go bowling. Mm. He would be like, let's go to a bar. So most of our dates were in bars, drinking. Yeah. At home, let's watch a movie. Let's buy some beers. It will make it more fun. You know, it was just always alcohol, alcohol, alcohol. Mm-hmm. And then how it affected me even at work was, right near our office, there's this bar. It's a very well-known bar. I can't remember. Bavaria. It's
Bavaria.
Called, I think I'm there.
Yes. Yes. Oh, God.
You know, one thing media people are known for, it's drinking. Media people can drink. So a lot of the time, like, that is where lunch times people would go. At the end of shifts, people would go. You'd find radio presenters there. TV presenters, you find so many people in sales and marketing there. Like, that's where people would go to link up and stuff like that.
Yep.
And they start going there often. Then even before the shows, you're drinking, like, you're telling yourself, let me give myself some.
Yeah,
some,
just a little liquid courage, you know?
Exactly, exactly. And I remember even one time this director, female director, was like, gosh, Angie, what is happening to you?
Oh.
You're coming late to the shows. Yeah. Sometimes you're coming drunk. Like, what is going, you know? So it was such a toxic situation. But in that instant, because I was in it, I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
I couldn't see it before.
Yeah.
So there's so many other things that happened to me in that relationship that I've never opened up about. I know you know some of those things, and I'm not ready really to touch on those things.
That's absolutely fine.
I lost a lot. I really, really lost a lot. I lost my self-confidence. I lost my self-belief. I lost who I was as an individual, even as a woman. Yeah. I lost a lot. To the point where when that relationship ended, I was left with this huge gaping hole, because during that time when I dated this man, my dad and I didn't talk for almost 2.5 years. We didn't talk.
Yeah.
So when that relationship ended, I was like, my gosh, where am I going to go now? I had isolated most of my friends. Yeah. You know, things with my siblings were a bit shaky. I was like, where am I going to go? Like, what do I do? So at the end of it, I mean, what could I do? So I called my dad. First ring, he didn't pick up. Second ring, he didn't pick up. Third ring, he didn't pick up. Fourth ring, he picked up. And I just started crying. And I remember telling him, like, sorry, that was a bell. So I remember telling him...
Oh,
so I remember telling him, like, Dad, I've made the biggest mistake of my life and I need your help. And he asked me, Angela, what happened? What happened?
Yeah.
Then I'm like, no, I can't tell you over the phone, but I just need to leave this place. Where do I go? And he just told me, go and move in with your sisters. So that is where I went.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that started the beginning of another chapter, and not a very good one for me, because that relationship left me with such a big gaping hole, and I was looking for ways to fill it. So remember, I had been introduced to this life of drinking and partying. Like, sometimes we'd even go out till 6-7 in the morning. You know, and then you come back to the house, you're continuing to drink. Remember, even this one Saturday, like, we were just cooking and having a few beers. Koi, we drank till we blacked out.
Oh, God. Yeah.
We blacked out. You know, it was such a, I'll just call it, disgusting situation. Like, when I look back at it, I'm like, Angela, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, but this, these are all part of the learning, right? So, like, don't, I know it's easy for you to beat yourself up, like, or look back and say that was disgusting, but it was just, you were going through a human experience. And I would encourage you not to think of it as disgusting, but just a period, a phase, you know? And like, it's just like a scar, you know? Some scars are more prominent than others, and it's still going to be there. But sometimes you have to look at those scars differently, especially because of what they mean to you today. So,
Very, very true. So here I am. I've moved out. We've broken up. The relationship has ended. I'm still working. But then I'm left with this huge gaping hole, because I had honestly believed that this man was the man of who, like, I was going to marry. I was going to have kids with. Like, I solely believed, oh my gosh, I have met the one. So you know that big gaping hole, you're looking for ways to fill it. I just continued drinking. Then on top of that, like, shopping, you know, things you're looking to, you start doing things that will make you feel good.
Yeah.
You're shopping, you're buying. expensive perfumes, you're buying expensive shoes, you're buying bags, you're doing all these expensive things, trying to feel, to feel that emptiness, that hole, and to make yourself feel better.
Yeah.
And that somewhat created money problems for me, you know? Yeah. It was just crazy. And now, as I mentioned, that opened another hellish chapter for me. Because I moved from one negative experience to something negative also. Yeah. And that is how I started getting into debt.
Yeah. Let's take a break.
Breaking news, Justin. An unprecedented catastrophe has struck the world of wine connoisseurs, and the epicenter of this disaster lies within the serene vineyards of the Piers Porter Michelsberg in Germany. Brace yourselves as we recount the cataclysmic events that unfolded during what can only be described as a wine-tasting apocalypse. In this tale, it defies belief. One brave soul has emerged from the wreckage to share their first-hand encounter with this abomination known as the Piers Porter Michelsberg. What began as a routine tasting soon descended into chaos as the veil of normalcy was torn asunder. As they cautiously approached the glass, little did they know that they were standing on the precipice of vinicultural oblivion. The aroma that wafted forth was not one of anticipation and delight, but rather a harbinger of despair and devastation. A comment was made that the acidity is akin to a venomous serpent that coiled around their palate, leaving them gasping for reprieve. But it was the metallic aftertaste that struck the fatal blow, as if the very essence of the wine had been corrupted by some malevolent force. With each sip, a wave of nausea threatened to overwhelm them, as if the very earth itself was rebelling against this affront to natural order. The villagers have spoken of a vomit fest that ensued, like they had been possessed, and the vomit toll now unfortunately stands at over 1,000, and it is said that the number is likely to increase in the next 2 days. This is not merely a bad wine review, dear listeners. It is a harrowing account of a natural disaster of biblical proportions, a wine so heinous it threatens to rend the fabric of reality itself. May we never forget the horrors witnessed within the confines of that cursed bottle. This is a warning to all wine lovers everywhere. Do tread carefully, for the path to damnation is paved with the remnants of the Piers Porter Michelsberg. This has been Sylvie reporting from the Wine and Uncorked Chronicles podcast, signing off amidst the somber echoes of a world forever changed. Thank you all for listening to part one of this episode. Unfortunately, we have to stop there for today. Part two will be out next week, so please tune in. We had just a bit too much to talk about for me to then say I'm going to put it into one episode. So I thought I'd leave you guys with a little bit of a cliffhanger. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to like, subscribe, and share it with everyone that you might think would be interested in listening to this. Also, please check out the description so that you can find all the links to Angeline's social media pages. Thanks again, guys.